Well, again, thanks for being here and joining us this morning. Just let me piggyback on that sharing of that life group. Again, I'm pretty sure that everything wasn't in place in your home by the time this life group came in there, you know, and that everything wasn't in place when they had the barbecue. And so often we think our home has to be just perfect. Our lives need to be just perfect before God can use us. And the reality is, it's just by who we are, seeing our mess, in the midst of our messiness, in the midst of our own brokenness, God can use us. And so I applaud you and know that we probably all need to be doing that a little bit more, just simple ways to be a light to the people that God has placed next to us. So we are continuing in our Summer in the Psalm series this morning. We're going to dive into one of the books, as we've been talking about, the Psalms. Again, it's 150 chapters. Some are longer than others. But what's interesting, again, it's the book in the Bible, one of the books that really encourages us to slow down, to think, to reflect. It's an emotional book that touches on numerous emotions, and it's really a book in the Bible that encourages us to be honest with ourselves and honest with our God. And again, that is why so many people focus in on that, because for them it is a very real book. Today we're going to be talking about a song. Again, the Psalms were songs. Songs that the folks sang, and they were all compiled, so that would be their psalm book. And some of you are from a tradition where your song book is psalm. What is it in the CRC, folks? Somebody talk to me about what's the old hymn book called? There you go. See, you know, I knew there was something in there with the CRC. But churches have used the Psalms for centuries as a way to express their thanks for God. And again, today we sang a part of the Psalm we're going to be looking at. We sang it maybe in a new way: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And we are going to be learning that phrase over and over, that his love endures forever. But like this particular Psalm 136, like the rest of the Psalms and like the rest of Scripture, takes us on a journey. They all take us on a journey that focuses us toward God. Scripture does the same thing. From the beginning to the end, it's a story, it's a journey, and each Psalm is the same way. And so this psalm is a psalm about the people who have gone through some good times and some bad times, and they remember it over and over with the phrase, his love endures forever. In fact, the folks would sing this at their one of their biggest festivals, Passover. And Passover was a time where the Israelites would remember God's deliverance, you know, splitting the Red Sea, 40 years through the desert. And they, when they actually arrived to the promised land, hallelujah, praise God, let's have a party, they would remember that each year. And they would remember that, tradition says, and many scholars say, specifically by singing the psalm we're looking at today, Psalm 136. And so I want to take a little bird's eye view of that. You know, the first part of each verse of the song, we'll look at it in a moment, talks about an aspect of God. And yet it always goes back to the second part is his love endures forever. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about Psalm 23. And the takeaway from that, in case you forgot or weren't here, is the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what else has happened in life, no matter how much we can talk about theology, no matter how much stuff is happening in the world, either to the world or to us individually, we need to remember that the Lord is my shepherd. And so here we are again in the Psalms, the people of Israel going through all kinds of stuff and back, saying, His love endures forever. So that's going to be our takeaway. But as I was studying this, our version, the NIV that's in your chair, the Bible in your chair backs, says the term, His love endures forever. But there's been many translations of that. So let me just get those to you here. Some of them will say, His love is eternal. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. His loving kindness continues forever. His mercy endureth forever. And again, in the translation that we use, His love endures forever. So on that note, let me pray. Again, God, we are indeed thankful. Thankful for the folks here who are actually in here, or maybe they're outside or joining us on stream, that they are here. And I'm sure there have been plenty of reasons maybe to stay home and to stay cool. But yet your people are here in this place and your church. And so I simply pray that the thoughts that are going on in their hearts and in their minds, that the things that they are thinking about that have happened or are happening, that the words that come from my mouth will be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength and our Redeemer, and your love endures forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Okay, again, this chapter is divided up into several different sections. And so let me just give you a brief overview of those sections just to so you know where it started and where it ends. You know, in the first three verses, it really just simply talks about God and God's creation. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And let's take a look at the theme there. For He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. And then finally, give thanks to the Lord of lords. And all of this, folks, is setting us up, or setting up the people, to remind them that the God who has just taken them through everything and back is in charge of everything. He has created everything. The second section is from verses 4 through 9, that God is praised for, again, creating the universe. Another section, 10 through 15, talks about the rescue of the people from Egypt. No, they were slaves, and we're going to get to it. We're going to all read it together. It talks about the freedom from that slavery. And finally, the chapter recaps everything he had just said, sort of like a pastor does, you know, recaps it all and reminds people that it is the God who has taken them and who is with them and who protects them. Now, I find this interesting because, again, we talked about this earlier, some time ago. 26 verses to this psalm. And the second half of each verse is, His love endures forever. Over and over and over, it is repeated. And how it was said traditionally is that usually the priest, or somebody who was in religious authority, we would say the pastor, maybe even the choir would say the first stanzas, the first line, and then the congregation, the people, or maybe even the choir would respond with, His love endures forever. And so that's what we're going to do today. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to repeat it to you. And you're going to respond with 26 times, His love endures forever. And it's my goal that as you leave this place and something hits the fan this week, maybe it's ice or cold water to cool you, but if something else does, you're going to be thinking, his love endures forever. So let's take a look at Psalm 136. We're going to look at it on the screen today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, who to the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, who swept Pharaoh and his army into the sea, to him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down the great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our lowest state and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. And I think for some of you, you may have been thinking, well, those are just some words. It's in the Bible, yeah, so it should make sense. It's sort of like in the Bible. And yet, it tells a story. It literally tells the story of the people of Israel from the beginning to the end, reminding us of who God is, and a reminder that, again, that he protects us, that he is with us, that he provides for us. And it is just a great psalm of thanksgiving. Again, we've mentioned before, I mention it, that the Psalms is an emotional book. Again, that because it touches on many of the emotions such as joy and sorrow, confusion, depression, anger, vengeance, and praise, and peace. And it encourages us that that is okay. Those feelings are okay. And it encourages us to be honest with God. And as we have just read through in a few moments, Israel's history, all that kind of stuff, if you can imagine it, would have been a part of their history. And yet God's love endures forever. This psalm talks about a couple different things for us to keep in mind. It talks about thankfulness and what God has done, and praise for who God is. Thankfulness for what he's done and praise for who he is. And again, why? You know, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, you just seen him split the Red Sea. You know, you walk through the muddy waters and you look back and all of a sudden, kapush, the bad people are gone. Why would I need to remember that? I'm thinking, if I was there, that would be with me for the rest of my life. And yet, they needed to remember. And so there was this song for that. And so again, folks, let's be honest. I don't think any of you aren't that old. No, you haven't been around since then. But I do think we forget that his love endures forever. We forget how God has moved in our own lives. And so if the people of Israel needed to remember, we need to be intentional to remember. Because we're human. The people of Israel were human. It is way too, let's face it here, it's way too easy to live in the now and forget what's happened. We need to be coming back to remember God's faithfulness. And why, you know, why collectively? Because this is a song that's been sung in community. Again, yes, I have to open up my heart for Christ to come into it, me individually, but if I just live that life individually, that's not the life that God describes in Scripture. Again, this song is a song sung in community. Why? Because when you remember God's movement in your life, when we share that with others, they're encouraged as well. Now, we use the term in a church that's called testimony. Sometimes you call it your story. It's a little more user-friendly term. But Psalm 136 is the testimony of the people of Israel. It's the testimony of seeing God work through their lives. And that's what that churchy word that we call testimony, that's what we say when it's telling your story. Foo, your life group had a testimony. They told the story of God moving in their life. And as last week, Mark talked about confessions and the value of confession. Not that just that, yes, God hears me when I confess to myself, and there is no need for an intercessor to confess for me, but that we confess in community, appropriately confess in community to the right people, people you can trust. And so as I flipped through those cards last week that many of you turned in, I was again reminded, humbly reminded of the brokenness that all of us live in here. And so as a guest, if you're our guest today, and if you're thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to measure up to these people at New Life, trust me. Trust me. There are no perfect people here. From the spectrum of things shared in those cards, none of us are perfect. And so if by chance somebody's on a high horse thinking I'm holier than thou because I haven't done this, you know, it just takes a little push to knock them off, folks, because none of us need to be on a high righteous horse. We are all broken. And I was in awe as I read them, not by the things I've read, because I've heard many of your stories anyway, but of the reminder of God's redemption, of the reminder that God loves us despite our humanity and the things that and the mistakes that we make. So all that to say is community is important as we think about praise, and we touch about on that last week. So let's take a look a little bit more again at this chapter and really what was laid out in there. Again, like it started out, the first three verses in that chapter about God's goodness. It's a broad stroke that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And it really puts God in his place of authority. As we start off there by saying that give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, that he is the God of gods, and again, that he is the Lord of lords, that he is the God of gods over all the other gods, because there's a bunch of gods out there, and let's not deny that. We know there are other gods that people make their alignment with. So this psalm reminds us that no, it is God who is God of gods. And then verse 3, Lord of lords, out of anything else that may be sort of like trying to lure you in or hook you in to that has your full attention, that you almost worship that thing. Like my AC went out this week, and I didn't want to say I worshiped AC, but oh, gosh, it is a blessing. But I don't want to worship it, but I almost slept in my office on Thursday night. But there are many things that we almost give our life to. Our family, our friends, our spouses, our children, our jobs, the things we have. Anyway, we're told here again in Psalm 136 that the God that the Israel is telling their story is above all things or people that may be leering them for their attention. And the next section, 4 through 9, reminds us that the people about God's creative power in all of creation. You know, starting off with the great wonders of the heaven and the earth. Throughout the section we read of giving thanks to the God for his cleverness in making the heavens, who separated the earth from the waters, created the great lights, the sun and the moon and the stars, and put into motion the rhythms of life that creates the morning and the evening that we call day. So again, through the whole story of Israel, they're setting the foundation of what is to be thankful for. Reminders for each of us to make sure our foundation is in our God of creation, our foundation for thankfulness, not in the things that we have. Verses 10 through 15 are the highlights of some of the more dramatic ways in which God worked and continues to tell God's story on his salvation and his plan for his people. The plagues, you know, the dividing of the sea, all of those are just ways that God is, again, reminding them. This psalm reminds them of God's provision, of God's protection. And again, folks, it's easy to think, oh, yeah, he split the sea, but then you have to get through it. So God may open some doors for us, a new home, some new neighbors. Okay, so you're going to take that step? You're going to take that step to just simply have some people over for dinner? Or are you going to sit on the other side where it may feel a little bit more comfortable just the way things are? And so again, Psalm 136 reminds us that God is a God of action. When he raises his arm, and if you go back, you see all the movies, you know, when that arm goes up and that sea is split, it's just a reminder that God is a God of action, not being passive. Reminders for each of us that God calls us to be people of action. Verses 16 through 22, in just that section, it's a reminder of God's presence through the desert, through the 40 years, and how God provided and protected them through that against some very evil people. That God was there in the dryness and in the desert. We saw her DJ share about his church plant. You know, some call that the desert. You know, there's nobody going to be there. We're reminded here that God is with us in the desert of our lives. And then the end of the chapter really is a summary in verses 23 through 26. He repeats everything that's gone on a little bit of a different order. And the last verse of the chapter ends with this. Again, a reminder that give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Church History 101 in a few minutes. His love endures forever. So again, I think, and you may be thinking, okay, so what difference does it make? Okay, yes, I see that. So what's that going to do for me? How does that help me in my moments of frustration, in my times of pain and fear and anxiety-risen situations? Well, I found it helpful as I studied this all week to rewrite the Psalms using your own story. To rewrite it thinking, okay, God, where have you been? What have you done? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Where have you been in my life? And let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you in your life group. You know, forgive me, leaders, for saying chuck the lesson that you may have planned for this week. Reread the psalm and take time in your life group for people to write the psalm of their life and share it collectively. I tried to do this several times this week, and I was very much encouraged. Some of you have heard part of my story on and off over the last few years, but I was encouraged as I remembered God's faithfulness through the days. So as I rewrote the Psalms about God's presence in my life, this is a part of that story. You know, I opened my heart to Jesus when I was 10 years old, and his love endures forever. When my high school best friend turned to drinking and alcohol and drugs, his love endures forever. When my parents divorced, his love endures forever. When several families in my church became my family, took me under their wing and welcomed me despite my parents' divorce, his love endures forever. When at age 43, not my age, the age of my mom, she had her first heart attack, and his love endures forever. As a single mom, we had to go on disability, complete disability, and go on to food stamps. And his love endures forever. I was blessed to be able to attend college with a major in youth work. And his love endures forever. When my mom was 50 and died of a heart attack, his love endures forever. I had the opportunity and was blessed to go to a graduate school, and his love endures forever. Blessed with an incredible wife of over 20 years, and his love endures forever. When in vitro fertilization didn't work, and young people, you can ask your parents what that means, his love endures forever. When I finally passed Greek and Hebrew in seminary, his love endures forever. When we adopted Mackenzie, his love endures forever. When the test results came back indicating the presence of cancer, his love endures forever. When the natural therapy kept it away and in remission for over 10 years, his love endures forever. When the doctor said the only option for treatment was hospice for my wife, his love endures forever. When she passed away at 51, his love endures forever. Counting the blessings of my wonderful daughter, his love endures forever. When leaving a beautiful home with many friends to move here to California, his love endures forever. To be privileged to help rebuild, to lead, and to teach you folks here at New Life, his love endures forever. When some people who may be have a different vision or are selfish, who may try to scare me and some other leaders off, his love endures forever. The blessing of some lifelong relationships from around the country, his love endures forever. Hearing of God's movement in your lives and in our city, his love endures forever. People, I've been privileged again and honored to hear many of your stories. stories of joy, stories of fear, stories of pain, stories of triumph, and his love endures forever. I encourage you to share with your friends and with your spouse that when they go through challenging times, that they can see you live out in your life that his love endures forever. When you yourself feel tempted, feel despaired, want to throw in the towel, remember that his love endures forever. When the devil himself starts to whisper into your ear the things you know will push your buttons, things that are self-defeating to you as a child of God, as a child of the resurrected Jesus, you need to remember that God's love endures forever. And when you think you've had all that you can take, when the world seems to collapse around you, remember that his love endures forever. No matter where some of you are moving, Jack and Agatha, way in the back here, Flint, wave. This is 2 weeks. Next week they're going to be moving, or the next 2 weeks. You're moving over toward Riverside. And even though you'll be at your son's church and he's a Baptist, his love endures forever. On this side, Gordon and Marilyn Wong. Is this your last Sunday? Yeah. You are married. You're moving to Atlanta, right? So remember, his love endures forever. So no matter what your bank account says, no matter if the test results are scary, if your business closes or right sizes, if your spouse walks out on you, if your kids make painful or embarrassing decisions, and folks, no matter who wins the election, let's say it together, his love endures forever. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to invite out the worship team. And we're going to continue to worship. And as you know, the sermon is not worship. It's a part of our worship experience, hearing God's word. And so we're going to continue to worship. Continue in ways that allow you to respond. So the offering is going to be received. If you're a part of New Life, thank you for continuing to partner with us to be new life for the city. We also offer communion that can be served to you if you're unable to come forward, or we serve it up here or in the back. So if you need a reminder, and that's really what communion is, the bread and the cup, a reminder of God's love, that his love endures forever, we invite you to come up and remember that. If you would like to light a candle here in the back to remember his love endures forever, even in those painful, fearful, irritating situations, do so, because his love endures forever. And if you need to nail to the cross something that you would like forgiveness for, or a reminder of God's movement in your life, that he is the creator God who provides and is with you and protects you. If you just need to write it, because some people like to write, you can write that and nail it to the cross. And if you need a verbal conversation, someone to actually pray with you, somebody from the prayer team will be over here by the organ, and they would be honored to pray with you to remind you that God's love endures forever. And so let us continue to worship the God of creation, whose love endures forever.